Excellent. Okay, good.
Excellent.
Just like that. Get up on that mic and start the show. Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where together we make today make sense, but not today, because the time change is all of us, except for those of you in the states where it doesn't happen, and I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear about it. Don't be bragging.
So please push stop on this podcast right now. Cease listening if you did not change times. Oh, no. Sorry. Wait. Sorry. Never mind.
I'll talk at you, just not with you today.
That's right. Hey, everybody. It's Kai. I'm on the other end of the Comrex here with Ms. Wood. It's a Monday. We're all a little groggy. We're going to do some news. It'll make me smile and then get out of y'all's hair, as we try to do. As we try to do.
Totally. I'm having an English breakfast. Oh, yeah. I've pulled in the big guns. English breakfast tea. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's how bad it is.
Might have coffee later.
You know?
Haven't decided.
It's pretty delightful. I'm sure I'll regret it in a few hours, but right now, yum.
There you go. So, all right, hit it.
So over the weekend, the New York Times had this good piece yesterday on Pi Day. I can't believe nobody was working on Pi Day. I didn't even make any, 314.
Yes,
March 14th.
Yes.
Okay. That's enough nerdiness. The Times had this big story that was very good about kind of the long, long history of police shrugging off and frankly, frequently sort of sympathizing with the Proud Boys, the far right group that has been implicated in really organizing a lot of this Capitol protest and, of course, Capitol attack and a lot of other violent activity. And then there was a good tweet by Issy Lepowski, who writes for Protocol, who did a great piece a couple of weeks ago, March 8th, about big tech and how big tech had spent these big tech companies, specifically Facebook and Google and YouTube and Twitter, had spent a lot of their time and monitoring and moderation energy and money on foreign terrorists, right? Like, we got to take down ISIS, but domestic extremism either isn't a thing, or they just didn't pay that much attention to, or frankly, sometimes when they did, Republicans said they were censoring right-wing speech. And Issy had this good tweet today where she basically was like, you know, this New York Times piece on the Fed's lax approach to the Proud Boys underscores the thesis in her piece from March 8th, which is that one reason the tech companies didn't treat domestic extremists like ISIS is because the government wasn't treating them like terrorists. There was no sense of urgency. Yeah, yeah. There was no pressure from the government to deal with this form of domestic terrorism, which isn't even usually called that. And I just thought it was a really nice connecting of the dots there, which is like, they're not going to do more than they have to.
Right. And I think the point there about the lack of a sense of urgency is just so key, because everybody was like, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum. And then January 6th, boom, even people who were only, tangentially in touch with the news understood what was happening. And it's a little not great that the people whose job it is didn't quite see that.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. There's a whole bunch wrapped up in that. And the many, many times that, various Proud Boys at violent protests were then asked if they were okay, or, the person being assaulted was charged instead of the Proud Boy doing the assaulting does raise real questions that I think we'll continue about. I mean, look, we know the FBI itself was investigating deliberate white supremacist recruiting into police organizations and the FBI itself. Like, it's not, this is all an ecosystem that is only now starting to be untangled. And, obviously what happens on these big tech platforms is a big part of that. So it was an interesting observation on her part.
For sure.
And a good story.
So that's all three of those links that you put in there. That's just one story.
That's it. Look at that.
Okay. All right.
Easy peasy.
Like, oh man, Molly's got three. Holy cow.
He's like, it's only 30.
Okay.
Six after, she's already done.
what are we doing here? Okay, I've got two links in the rundown. All y'all can't see this. I've got two links. One's a very quick observation, and then the other one is the news. The observation is this. There's a study out suggesting that students in school can just be 3 feet apart and still be safe from infection and infecting others instead of the universally recognized now 6 feet. And yay, that's great. The study is awesome. My gripe with this is that Dr. Fauci went on TV on Sunday and said, yeah, 3 feet. That's totally possible. Could make that work. We'd have to check into it, but I think that's right. And then the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, came out and said, no, 6 feet. We need six. And all I'm begging, all I'm asking, all I need here, and I'm not the only person in the country who's confused by all these facts and data and all this stuff. Can we make up our minds? Can we just make up
Seriously.
Our minds? Please.
Seriously. Just, please.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I want. That's all I want.
It is getting real annoying. Yeah. Like, yeah. It feels paternalistic at some point. Like, dear government, A, you all need to talk to each other. You all need to talk.
Yes.
This is basic corporate communications 101. And then two, or B, like, it feels paternalistic to at this point not just give a list. Like, I know people who are still washing groceries. Like, come on. You need to come out and be like, playgrounds are freaking fine. Like, 3 feet, okay, if you have a mask. But then get everybody on the same page before you say it, because none of this is helping the massive trust gap. And P.S., don't even get me started on the school situation.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, can't we just cancel it? Just cancel the rest of the year. Cancel it. No more freaking classes. No more grades. None of it. Cancel it. It is a gap year for everyone, including those of you who went to a private school and did just fine. Everybody gets a gap year. It's done. And then fix it all for the fall and quit freaking out.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm sorry,
Hollywood.
I got started. I said I wasn't going to get started.
You got going. It's all good. It's all good. I didn't mean to trigger you, but it's okay. Those are all completely valid points of view, man. Every single one that you put in there. Okay, here's my news, and it's not news of today as much as it is news of 2022 and conceivably 2024. From the Cincinnati Inquirer, I saw it on Recode, but the Inquirer reported it first. Peter Thiel, co-founder of PayPal, CEO and founder of Palantir, which is a big data company, the guy who took down Gawker, source of a lot of money and of some very right-wing political views, has contributed $10 million to a super PAC that will support J.D. Vance if he decides to run for Senate in Ohio. Now, that's important for a couple of reasons. Number one, J.D. Vance, maybe you read his book, Hillbilly Elegy. It's a great book, crazy fast read. I think I read it on an airplane from here to New York. Really super interesting, and he can tell a story. Number two, Ohio in the Senate races in 2024 is kind of on the bubble because Rob Portman, Republican of Ohio, is retiring, and Vance and every other Republican in Ohio want that seat, and $10 million would be huge. Number three, J.D. Vance, while having written a very interesting tale of up from the bootstraps and all that, has become increasingly populist of late, and it will be a notable development if he becomes like the Republican nominee or actually wins a Senate seat from Ohio. It will be really, really consequential. Consequential, right? I was going to say interesting, but that's BS. It's consequential.
It is
and I would encourage all y'all to read into that story because it's big. It's very big.
That's it.
Oh,
no, it's okay.
Derek,
you can go ahead.
Hit it. Own
it's
it,
okay,
dude.
Here.
Own it. Just lean all the way in, pal. Go.
Yeah.
There you go.
When we start to mumble, just keep us rolling, man. Just keep us rolling.
Yeah, just hit it. We'll follow your lead. We are easily producible. Oh, my Lord.
It's really true. Not every day, but some days.
Yes. No, some days.
I want you to go last because yours is so good. I watched it right
it's
before
so
the show,
amazing.
Which is good because I got
so
the tears
amazing.
Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The thing that has been making me laugh all day, though, like just truly and sincerely laugh out loud, is seeing Twitter's reaction to what was evidently like a Fox op-ed asking for Generation X, for Gen X to come in and like stop cancel culture. There's a call for Gen X to lead the charge to save America from the social media mob. And watching Gen Xers explain or respond to this has been hysterical. Like, for example, my buddy Scott Johnson, Gen X here, never has a quote less understood the actual Gen X vibe. We literally can't be bothered. Gen X,
yep.
A call for Gen X to lead a charge. Gen X did not accept the charges. And then finally, my absolute favorite, a tweet that says,
did not accept the charge.
Apparently Gen X are supposed to stop cancel culture. You mean like when you tried to ban our music, movies, and video games?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you remember back in the day, if, for example, you were NWA or Grand Theft Auto or weed.
Yep.
And one Tipper Gore was up your behind, but no, thank you. We are not having this fight again.
Out. La, 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 la. Okay, moving on. Oh my goodness. Okay.
It's a fun so, one. Just click the Gen X tag. It's funny. Your turn.
Yes. All right, here's mine, and it's really moving, actually. It's not a make me smile, it's really moving. So the Grammys were last night, and Tiffany Haddish, comedian, won for her Netflix special. And she was working today filming a show that she does called Kids Say the Darndest Things, which parenthetically was started by Bill Cosby, which is just weird. But anyway.
Huh. Don't ruin it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I won't ruin it. Sorry. Anyway, so black woman doing this show. She's on stage filming this segment with two young black girls in the seat, and they're talking about whatever they're talking about. And she's doing her riff. And the producer comes on in the ear. And the way this is on the tweet that she tweeted out, and Tony's going to put it on our show page, her producer is talking to her in her ear and tells her as she is doing this segment on tape that she had won a Grammy for her comedy special.
Tell them all you just won a Grammy. Congratulations. You just won the best comedy out.
Y'all serious?
I'm serious. This is no lie. This is for real.
I really won?
Woo woo.
And then, as she collects herself, she goes into speech on what it means for her, and more importantly, for these two girls who are on stage with her, that a black woman has, for the first time since Whoopi Goldberg, which it's got to be 25 years ago now, a black woman has won for spoken word comedy. And it was super, super moving. Tony's going to put it on the show page. Check it out. She's at Tiffany Haddish. You can find it yourself. It's just really good. It's really cool. It's just
totally wonderful.
Super nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally wonderful. And she just immediately turns it into like telling these kids that they can do anything. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's delightful. So, I also like the part early on where they're telling her and the kids are like, what's happening? And she's like, she yells at them that she has an IFB in her ear.
Yeah.
She's like, I have this thing in my ear. I am not talking to you. Just hold on. I think I want to grab it.
You could see being some 10-year-old girl and this woman who you probably don't really know that well is just saying random things into the air, right? And you're like, what are you doing, crazy lady?
What? Huh?
Yeah.
It was lovely. Yeah. Also, I watched the Grammys last night, which I normally never... I really liked the Grammys because I liked the concerts. It was an excellent broadcast. Leaving aside every other complaint that people have about the Grammys, they got a new executive producer, and by God, it showed. And it was delightful. It was quick moving.
Well, that's cool.
It was sharp. It was like a great little series of concerts with really good music. I was like, this is the best Grammys ever.
Cool. That's cool.
It's good.
Excellent.
All right. We have, quickly, before we go, a fundraising challenge match. We have a challenge.
And we are challenge matching y'all for a podcast called Million Bazillion. It's something we do at Marketplace for kids and money.
It's so great. And honestly, I listened to it because, you know, I didn't have a great money education when I was growing up. So sometimes I like to learn things. It's called Million Bazillion, as Kai said. Teaches kids about the economy and money. It has these little skits. It has Bridget, our erstwhile senior producer, and Jed Kim.
Yeah.
Saving money, negotiating, how advertising works. It's actually lovely. Check out season one with your kids. They love it, and it makes them smart about the economy early on, which turns out is important.
Catch is, in order to have season two, they need to raise $50,000 to match a $50,000 donation from a very generous Million Bazillion fan. So, a challenge match. Donate today. Double your investment. Give, if you can, please. Marketplace.org/givemillion.
Definitely. It does not. It sounds like a lot of money, but also not a lot of money. And we believe in you. We believe in you. Think of it as like the kids' version of this show without the swears and occasional butt jokes. If you appreciate Marketplace, you want the kids to be smarter. I can't say and the booze, exactly. It's a booze-free version. And if you donate, you will get some stickers that feature this cute comic artwork that they did in season one. I got the stickers, and I love them. Super They're adorable.
Cool. Super cool.
Yep.
URL is marketplace.org/givemillion. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. We love that show. That is it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with an episode that we have been working on in some way, shape, or form for years, a deep dive on labor unions. We're going to talk about Amazon, but also why these younger professional tech workers are getting interested in the labor movement, what it kind of all means for the future of wages and work and unions in the U.S. If you have questions in advance of that or for Wednesday, send them to makemesmart@marketplace.org.
also.
Et voilà.
Got it. Yeah,
voice memos.
Voice memos. Yeah.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Ooh, the music seems extra rocking. Maybe it's because of the Grammys vibe. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter. And Make Me Smart explained.
I think you put something funny in your tea. That's what I think.
Sugar.
Today's program was engineered by Garrett Lang. Oh, my goodness gracious. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer, I'm not going to read what's written here. Senior producer is Donna Tam. She just got the day off. You guys, don't take her out of the grace because she's taking the day off. That's lame.
The boot.
What is that? Donna Tam is the senior producer of this podcast, full stop, until Bridget comes back. But she's got another job right now doing million bazillions, so.
Million bazillions.
Excuse me, you know, whatever. That's right. The executive director of On Demand is Tarnia Evans, who might be writing her resignation letter as we speak. I don't know.
I wonder if Ben and Daniel could get a Grammy. I'm high on the Grammys.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.